Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo
across our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Now, most of us will have no doubt given some thought as to how we can save some money on our energy bills. But what steps can we take? Rob Chipperfield is here from Cambridge 105 Radio's Gadget Guide. Morning to you, Rob.
Good morning, Julian. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much indeed. I wish I could say the same for my phone.
Yes, I'm sorry to hear that. you mentioned that. Oh, no.
I dropped it and it went head first. And well, I picked it up yesterday. No problem at all. No cracks on the screen or anything. And I noticed that there's this blur which has appeared. And of course, typically it's over the thing that tells you how much battery is left. So
I think
I might be making a trip to the Apple shop at some time over the next couple of days.
The good news, I don't know, I never actually followed up on this. The good news is that Apple did say that they were going to start selling replacement screens and other replacement parts to individuals and to third-party repairers a while back. Because it used to be that only the Apple store were the ones that could do proper repairs on iPhones. And they've started saying they're going to do genuine parts for other repairers.
So interesting. Interesting. Worth exploring. But we're here this morning to talk about how we can save money on our energy bills. And I mentioned earlier on, this started the conversation between myself and Mrs. Clover over the weekend and thinking as well, what can we do? And, you know, I thought to myself, well, smart plug. Surely I can use a smart plug and turn, I don't know, things like television or computers off overnight to save a bit of money. Is that a good idea?
It depends, is the typical technical answer. The problem might not be as bad as you think, because a few years back, the EU did a power saving directive, which basically said that any products that were sold new had to have a very low standby consumption. The standby consumption had to be less than half a watt, at which point, actually, the amount of power that it's using is not zero, but it's pretty close to it. And the amount of power that your smart plug is going to use is probably about the same.
That's interesting. So almost you're doing it as much for the, I don't know, for the convenience as you are for saving money. And of course, this conversation is all about saving money.
Exactly. So the first thing I would say, if you, maybe you have some older devices that came in before that. It was 2012, the EU Energy Efficiency Directive. So if you've got older devices, they may well be the culprits. So the first thing I would say is find out which of your devices are the energy hogs. Because we do, there's articles going around in newspapers from time to time that say, oh, you could save, you know, £5,000 a year by unplugging your phone charger. And those are mostly not true. But you can find out for yourself. And that is to get a little plug-in energy meter. And there's two sorts of these. The first one will look at how much energy your whole house is using, and that's normally something that comes if you have a smart electricity meter installed. That'll normally come with one of these in-home displays, and it'll say, right now, your whole house is using 200 watts. That works out as this many pence per hour. The other sort, and I think these are the more useful ones, are it's a plug on one side and a socket on the other. And you plug it into your socket and then you plug in your TV or your hi-fi amplifier or your kettle or fridge or whatever. And it'll show you just for that appliance how much power that uses right now. So that's measured in watts. And then also, if you plug it in and leave it for some period of time, let's say 24 hours is a good period, it'll show you how much energy, that's normally measured in kilowatt hours, it's used over the course of that day. So something like a fridge or a freezer is not running all of the time. So it might use maybe a couple of hundred watts while it's running, but only actually be running for a third of the time. And it's using no power the rest of the time because it's cold enough. So if you get one of these plug-in energy monitors, you can just move it around, maybe over a course of a few weeks, plug it into your stack of TV and set-top boxes and, you know, Blu-ray players and all of that sort of stuff. Plug it in there. Leave it for a day. Read it afterwards. How much energy did you use over that day? Do the same for your fridge freezer. Do the same for your kettle. It might be a bit more awkward to get at things like, you know, the white goods in your kitchen if you can't easily get at the sockets they're plugged into. But yeah, that hopefully should build up a picture of where in your home the largest energy consumers are.
I guess there are things, of course. You know, you mentioned the fridge freezer, but, you know, you need your butter chilled. You can't say, right, well, I'm going to turn off my fridge on every Thursday to save money, because that's going to ruin a whole load of food that you've got stored there.
Of course. And, you know, hopefully no one's in that position. We'd like to hope.
Yeah, we hope not, obviously.
But, you know, maybe some people have a fridge freezer in their kitchen and then a second freezer out in the garage or something like that. Could you actually, you know, compact everything up into one device, maybe lose the extra? Maybe you've got a fridge that you just use for some drinks. Maybe you don't need that one. So that's something to think about. Or if it's getting on a bit, maybe if it's, you know, 15, 20 years old now, and some fridges and freezers are amazingly reliable, it might be worth looking at a more modern replacement for it that's a bit more energy efficient.
Yeah, no, we replaced our fridge, when we did the kitchen a few months back, we realised that the fridge was the only thing which hadn't been replaced, and the fridge was 25 years old, so it was kind of a good time to do that.
Exactly, and all appliances like fridges and freezers and washing machines and everything like that comes with an energy rating scale. So that's the one with the rainbow-coloured bars on it that goes... They've changed. Do watch out, they've changed in the last year or so. They used to go from... Originally it was A to F, and then things got more efficient, so they had A+, and then A++, and A++++, and then they realised that was getting a bit silly, so they rescaled everything. So something that used to be an A++ on the old scale is now a D, or something like that, on the new scale. So do watch out that you're comparing like for like, if you're looking to replace one of those appliances.
Oh, they're not making this easy, are they? What about things like light bulbs? Because there seems to be a number of changes, really, to light bulbs over the years.
That's a good point. Now, I suspect most of us probably haven't got too many of the old style filament bulbs left. If you do, absolutely great candidate for replacing. Anything that you change now, I would put an LED bulb in. They're much better than pretty much anything else on the market. So any old filament bulbs that look like we always thought of light bulbs, get rid of those. Those are huge energy consumers. But those have been gone for a few years. The thing you're more likely to have is the halogen sort of downlighter bulbs. So those are the ones with the kind of flat front and maybe a kind of triangular shaped reflective backing, often used in kind of spotlights and maybe in kitchens or that sort of fitting.
And the LED bulbs do, shall I say, they look like a light bulb again, which is quite nice.
Of course. They're a bit of technology that's come on leaps and bounds in the last probably 5 years or so. They were a bit dodgy to start with, but nowadays if you get a new LED bulb from a decent manufacturer, it's going to be fantastic. Easy test, and be careful not to burn yourself here. Have your light bulb turned off for a couple of minutes. If it's still hot, then it's probably a good candidate for replacement.
Right, that's interesting. I sometimes wonder as to what, in terms of the planet, if I've got a light bulb, an old halogen, say, you know, what's best for the planet? Is it taking it out and throwing it away when it's still good as a light bulb, or is it getting a new light bulb which is going to be so much more energy efficient?
Yeah, it's definitely a trade-off there, and I think with something like a light bulb, then it probably is worth replacing, as long as it's not one that you only use once a year. So I've actually got an old filament bulb in my garage, but it gets turned on for about 1 minute a day. And to be honest, the energy that replacing that would save is so small that I haven't bothered. If it's something like in your lounge or your kitchen where you're using it for hours and hours a day, that's probably going to pay for itself in the carbon that you're saving pretty quickly.
Okay, I guess the other area to talk about here is heating. You know, there's the classic turn it down by 1 degree, but some people do have smart thermostats, which turn... It's interesting, actually, when myself and FMC were away for the past week, so we set our thermostat to energy saving mode or whatever it's called. Sunday morning on the way back, we turned on the heating remotely, think, oh, that's great, we'll have a nice warm house when we get back. But of course then, because the smart heating system hadn't sensed anybody wandering around, it turned itself back off again.
No. Yep, smart heating is a great opportunity, situations like that aside. The cheapest heating is the heating you don't have to do. And so particularly if nowadays maybe you're working from home some days a week, not working from home other days a week, your kind of conventional seven-day programmer might not be so useful anymore. So replacing that with something a bit smart can be good. The other thing, you mentioned temperatures. Turning the thermostat down is one way of doing it. But the other thing to do is to check your boiler temperature. So this isn't the temperature that your house is trying to get to. It's what temperature the water is leaving your boiler. Because the cooler you can get that while still being able to get your house hot enough, the more efficient, if you've got a relatively modern boiler, the more efficiently your boiler is going to run, the less heat that's going to be going out of the side of the house in the boiler exhaust.
Interesting. So is this a matter of trial and error, just to see what you can get away with it and still have a warm house?
Exactly that. It's two bits. And I'm assuming here you have a reasonably modern condensing boiler. You basically want to turn it down until either the house doesn't get warm enough quick enough, or the boiler's kind of cycling on and off. So it's sort of the flame's coming on, and then a minute later it's going off, then it's coming back on, then it's going off. That's not good for the boiler. So you don't want to turn it down so far that that's happening. But other than that, the cooler you can get it, if you can get it down to maybe 60 degrees rather than 70 or 80, then you're just going to get a few more percent efficiency out of your boiler.
Well, I think we could talk about this subject for some time to come. We're going to have you back, I think, another time to go into more detail. I want to quickly ask, because this has come up in the news quite a bit, these heat pump things. They seem to be really efficient, but they cost a complete fortune.
Yes, they are almost certainly the future. If you currently don't have mains gas, so maybe if you're out in one of the villages, you use oil heating or electric storage heaters, then they will probably pay for themselves reasonably quickly. If you're in the city, you do have mains gas, then at the moment, the economic side of it is less clear. Electricity is quite a bit more expensive than gas. So even though they're more efficient, gas heating at the moment is still probably a little tiny bit cheaper. But watch this space. I would say over the next 5 years, that's going to change.
Interesting one. Rob, great to speak to you. So definitely have to have you back to talk about energy efficiency again. That's in a few weeks' time. And of course, Gadget Guide, next edition, I guess, is next Monday. Monday
week. Yes.
So we can... Well, I won't ask you what you're talking about. It might not have been invented yet.
No idea.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rob.
Cheers, Julian. Bye.
It is 8:44 now.
Cambridge 105 Radio.